Oh, dear Father, indeed remember us. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? But Lord, in your purpose in Christ, even before the foundation of the world, you have remembered your people in love, and you have remembered us even after our birth, and even into our old age, you have remembered us, and you have brought forth good things. And we pray and trust that this very day, especially this very day, you will remember us in your faithfulness and give us the Spirit of Christ, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, loving you as you have loved us. So bless this day. And again, as we come together, we're thankful for the opportunity, and just ask again that it might be a blessing unto us, that we in turn might return that blessing upon unto thee, and just acknowledge the truth that it's all of Christ. And thank you again for these great hymns. Thank you for inspiring those that have written them. Lord, just thank you for giving them to us, that we might worship and praise you through them. Accept our prayers today, and Lord, just answer our prayers according to your, again, purpose in Jesus. Lord, to build up, to edify the church, and to call out those, Lord, that are your elect people, out of darkness into light, translating them into thy kingdom. Now bless the word. We're thankful for that word. So just give us understanding of it. And just pray this morning as JT stands here that you'll have the liberty to deliver the word to us, and we will accept it and believe it and rejoice in it, and it will indeed edify and build us up in the holy faith of Christ. And then, Lord, your providence. Thank you for your providence. Guide and direct our paths always in the pathways of righteousness for thy name's sake. Lord, as far as the everyday things of life, we do not know whether to go this way or that way, but we do trust that you will direct us in the right way and the straight and narrow. So thank you again for all that you are to us, all that Christ means to us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that makes all of these things relevant to us. And in the name of Christ, again, receive us. Amen.
All right, JT, if you
turn with me to the book of Galatians this morning, second chapter. Paul used the term liberty in his prayer. Liberty. Everybody's looking for liberty. Peace and liberty. And and it is good to have the liberty to worship. Yeah, not very many people have that liberty nowadays. They still take after Adam and Eve and go look for a fig leaf to cover up and call it righteousness. Second chapter of the book of Galatians, it said, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and went up by revelation. That's a pretty important thing there. Good thing he went up by revelation, wasn't he? And communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Now, that's true, pure liberty. Then he goes on, that they might bring us into bondage. That's the reason they were coming spying on them. They're going to take up the ordinance of circumcision. It's kind of akin to baptism. Both of them were an answer of a good conscience toward God. And that's what is set at liberty in Christ Jesus, is a good conscience. Conscience is at rest. It's found peace. It's past understanding, you understand. Man cannot comprehend that. And he continues in bondage unless he be liberated by the power of the gospel. And that's what he's talking about. He said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, or whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. It's neither circumcision that availeth anything or anything else. The difference is in being liberated by Jesus Christ and the gospel. So he didn't give them any reason to go any further, because God said, accept no man person. For they seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. But he came by revelation. That's what he's talking about here. One was given one gospel, but it wasn't a different gospel. Things had changed. Lord had come. So he's preaching a little different gospel in that respect, in that we lay down all those earthly, worldly things, because Jesus Christ has become all in all, superior over to everything else. In the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, verse 1, he said, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me by revelation, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Unto the meek, you know, underscore that. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What was they bound by? Sin. It's always got the shackles on. Got to go get some more fig leaves. Never overcoming. Never conscious, never becoming clean. Always trying to do something. He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Going to liberate them. Set them free. Give them a clear conscience. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And this is the point of the whole thing. Liberate a people that more might glorify His name. There's so much going on today out there that they call worship. It simply is just putting on some more fig leaf. And they are taking down our Lord to the level of man and call it worship. He's just a little God that helps them through their little trials and tribulations. And everybody, everything to them is a trial and a tribulation. I don't know, we're just bogged down in that. Can't seem to find any joy in anything. No liberty to worship without letting these other things destroy us. We need to be liberated. Liberty, liberty. We need to be delivered from corruption, from sin, and all those things that are so easily beset us that might lead us in another direction. In the book of Isaiah, again, the 38th chapter, in verse 15, he said, "What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all the years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live." And once again, they have peace. We're in the land of the living because we have been liberated. He said, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, lifted it up out of the grave to live in liberty. For thou hast called or cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. Let it go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth." The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the day of our life in the house of the Lord. Don't go back to the temple and worship. Go up to the temple and worship. For Isaiah has said, "Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a pasture upon the boil, and he shall recover." It's kind of like going dip in the river seven times. Oh, we don't need to dip in that old nasty river. We got a much cleaner place. Can you imagine smearing figs all on you? but it'll cure you if you do what is said. Hezekiah also had said, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" Wasn't no sign. It's just what you must do if you liberate. Man's liberated, it's sign enough. Go up to the house of the Lord. Back in the 38th chapter, verse 15, he said, "What shall I say? He has spoken to me himself, and he hath done it." That's what's so good about the whole thing. He hath done it. Everybody wants to do something, don't they? Some few years ago, I was invited to come down to the Weldon grocery store. They had a little meeting room back there, and they invited me to come down there and say a few words to the brothers. I think I made two trips down there, and I figured out they don't need me talking to them. They already know way more than you know, no use talking to this bunch. They, every one of them had some idea that they were going to save the world. And every bit of what I was hearing was just absolute foolishness. Book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Chapter 6 and verse 17, I think. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." That sounds kind of strange. I had read that two or three times. Yeah. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." There's that little word, "oh," come in, "but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after a manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." This is the opposite, see. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and because become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." So we freed that we might have life. We're given liberty to worship. And that's life. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 58 chapter back, verse 3 said, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors, working hard at it." He said, "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate," and that's exactly what happens. They mingle. Any little gospel they have, they mingle it with worldly stuff. and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, or baptism, or circumcision, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go forth before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. If you've been liberated to do these things, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If I take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in.
Some people might argue with you and say, well, that's work. And to some people it is work. They don't have the liberty to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to serve him without either being coerced in it or having some ulterior motive for doing what they do. That's the whole idea of the liberty. It's not to do away with the law, but it's to give us the liberty to worship God without all of that earthly, worldly effort that has to go into it if people are going to even come close to obeying God. What I keep saying, you know, if you really want to know whether you're saved or not, you know, try not to do those things. If you cannot be a Christian, then it's because you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, you have to be a Christian. And the Christian has the liberty, doesn't have to be coerced, doesn't have to be made, doesn't have to be driven, doesn't have to be threatened in any form or fashion. He loves God and he loves the ways of God. And it's a joy and a delight to him.